Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is life. Speak to us today. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Good morning. My name is Michelle. I'm part of the team here for those of you who I haven't had a chance to meet. And we are finishing our series in Kingdom Values. Since the start of the summer, all the way up to this week, I don't know if you've been listening or coming or if you've even noticed, we've been looking specifically at the epistle readings, looking at what does it look like to be a kingdom people and live out kingdom values. And our final reading today from 1 Timothy is closing our session on the kingdom value of generosity. And as we dig into this chapter in Timothy 6, I want you to be asking yourself, what does it mean to truly lead a generous life? This passage opens with a really interesting claim. Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. What does it mean to truly be content in life? When is enough ever enough? That's a hard question for most of us. And I was illustrated that very clearly this Friday night. We had pizza night in the house. Now, that's nothing new, right? But generally, pizza night means ordering in a pizza or using a frozen pizza. I'm not above doing that, right? It makes it fun and easy, right? But for those of you who may have met our, who we call adopted daughter Gigi, who is generously giving of her time behind here, broadcasting our service, and now she's probably glad she's hiding because she hates attention. She had seen one of these, you know, online ideas about making our own fall-inspired pizzas. So everyone was really excited, me a little bit less because it was like more work, right? Pizza night was a little bit more work, so we got the dough and we got the toppings, and I had them all portioned out, and all of the girls got to make their own pizza, their own lump of dough, and we had a bonus pizza for Dad, so like everyone got a chance to be very creative plus some, right? And besides the creativity flowing in the house, because you got to make your own pizza, Zippy, Gigi, Sophia, whatever they wanted got to go on their pizza. So everybody just should have been super happy. And they were happy, right? We had a cat. We had a pumpkin. We had a ghost. We had lots of different things that the pizza was being stretched into. I have some pictures if you'd like to see. We got them into the oven. We got them on the table. We couldn't quite partake because, as you know, teenagers this day, fun and enjoyment is not quite shared until you've taken pictures of it all for posting later. So we got our picture-perfect fall pizzas there, sat down, ate to our heart's content, because what I hadn't realized is that when you do your own dough, really it grows a lot. So these pizzas not only were shaped in fall style, but they were very hearty, right? Zippy got the ear off her cat, and she was full, couldn't eat one more thing, possibly also because she ate toppings the entire time we made the pizzas, right? So we're all sitting at the table, pretty much done. All pizzas still left on our plates. And Zippy climbs up across the table, reaches across, and takes Sophia's last piece of pizza and shoves it in her mouth when she had just been saying she couldn't eat anymore and she had an entire pizza left in front of her. Well, a fight broke out across the table. There was a little bit of drama. Sophia could not understand why when Zippy had a whole pizza left, she wanted her poor last little bit of ghost pizza. Zippy didn't understand why Sophia couldn't share. Why am I talking so much about pizza? The want and longing for more than what we have starts very young. Nobody has to teach you that when is enough enough? Well, when I get a little bit more is enough. And Paul illustrates that beautifully in this passage. If we are to be people that live out kingdom generosity, first, it starts by running away from greed. Or running away, the word would better be translated as covetousness. Now, we don't use that word that much. Those of us who have maybe been in church for a while have heard the Ten Commandments. That's when it kind of springs to our mind. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's donkey. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff, right? Coveting is a little bit harder to follow the commandment than greed. Most of us think we're okay when it comes to greed, right? All right, I know not to be greedy, not want more. But covetousness is more like comparison. It's that thing that happens in life when you actually feel great about yourself and you step out and you're just having a great day until you see someone else that looks a little bit better. You love your house. You love your life. You love everything about it until you scroll on your phone and see someone else's decorated house. It's that thing in us when actually we could be quite happy and content, but then we compare and we start to want something a little bit different and a little bit more. Starting with being a generous people means actively running away from greed and covetousness. Now, Paul talks all about how godliness and contentment is great gain and outlines a lot of things that we should be not doing. And then he stops in verse 11 and says, Timothy, you need to flee from these things. You need to run away. So he's not just saying to us, and we're not just told as Christian people, just don't be greedy. Don't want other things. There's actually a dangerousness to this type of heart attitude, a dangerousness to this type of lifestyle. And the Bible is telling us not only should we not be living a greedy or a covetousness or a comparison lifestyle, we need to actively run away. Why do we need to run away, this first step to being generous? Why do we need to run away from this type of heart posture? First off, because comparison, greed, coveting actually steals our joy. In verses 6-9, Paul says, you have great gain and contentment when you mix your godliness with being at peace, at rest. If we have food and if we have clothing, most translations and commentators will say that the clothing here is not just clothing, but shelter. Paul's saying, he's not saying live in abject poverty and just be happy with. He's like, if you've got clothes on your back, a place to live, you can be at peace. You can be joyful. And why? Because you have everything you need. Paul's not calling for contentment in poverty, but a simplicity of lifestyle. Contentment that fights this need to compare, this need to want more. Maybe you've heard the phrase before. It's attributed to Theodore Roosevelt. Comparison is the thief of joy. A band that Peter and I like, this husband and wife duo called Johnny Swim, kind of did a whole song about this, and they say, comparison is the thief of joy. It'll break your soul. It'll tear your sail and sink your boat. Can y'all hear me? How many times do we let that wondering comparison just suck the color out of our life, rob us from contentment and happiness? And the truth is, we all know that contentment doesn't come from owning whatever we want, because there's never an end to whatever we want. So first off, we're told to run, actively run away from this type of joy-stealing attitude. It's dangerous. And then secondly, we're told to run away from greed and comparison and covetousness. Why? Because it's actually dangerous enough that it will lead us astray. In verses 9 and 10, Paul says, those who want to get rich, those who are always going after more, those who can't be content with what they have, they're led astray in three things, in three ways. First, we're led astray in our minds. He says, we fall into temptation and we're trapped by senseless desires. I come from probably the shopping queen of all shopping queens, okay? My mom, she is not a professional shopper. She should have been a professional shopper. Okay, some of my earliest memories when I could drive and make my own choices, she'd actually call me up and be like, you don't really need to go to your next class at school. Can't you just come to the mall with me? I mean, she loves to shop, all right? And so I have had to actively pursue a different type of lifestyle because it is deep within my bones. So one of the ways that I try to actively go against that is I just don't try to put myself in shops that often because I know I want it all. I just come by it naturally. But you know what? We can be led astray just even by senseless distractions in our mind. One of the worst things to ever happen is the fact that I can shop on my phone now. I'm being honest with you guys, right? I don't even have to go into a place. If I'm not careful, my mind can be distracted and led astray just by flipping open my phone and starting to look at all the things I don't have and all the wrinkles I could smooth and all the way my hair could grow. We are led astray in our minds by that comparison. by that greed. Second, we have to be careful and flee because we're led astray not only in our minds, we're led astray then in our hearts. And this is this famous passage probably all of you have heard that Paul says, the love of money is a root, or the root, depends on how you translate it, of all kinds of evil. He's not saying riches or money or wealth in and of itself is evil, but when our hearts are desiring for more, our hearts are desiring for wealth, it actually bends us in a direction away from goodness. And when we're bent away from goodness, which way do we turn? Towards evil, towards darkness. When we begin to love and crave security, more other things, we are led astray in our minds by senseless things. We're led astray in our hearts to evil desires. He goes as strong to say, you are plunged into destruction and pain. And then finally, Paul urges very, very strongly, run away, because some people who live for the love of more, the love of comparison, wanting other things, have actually been wandering away from the faith. So we run away from greed because we're led astray. It steals our joy, but it leads us astray in our minds, in our hearts, and even in our spirits. We heard the gospel reading, that sad reminder, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man got everything in life, but where did he end up? It's a strong parable. We don't like to think about it. In Hades, the wrong side of eternity, without the goodness of God. Jesus warns us in Luke 12, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. To be generous in our lives, we need to actively run away from the lifestyle and the attitude of greed, comparison, and covetousness, because it'll steal our joy and it'll lead us away from all good things. What good is it for us to gain the whole world, but lose our soul? But what I love about this passage is Paul doesn't just stop with run away from all this dangerous stuff, right? He then says, you, man of God, Timothy, flee from these things. And then he says, and pursue or run after other things. So we live generous lives by first running away from the greed and comparison. But then secondly, we have to run after that which is eternal. Run after eternal wealth. It's always easier to run when you're running towards something that you know is a goal than just running away from something, okay? I am a runner by nature, so I'm one of those weird people that actually likes to run, right? Sophia doesn't like to run so much, but if I give her a goal, like we will end up at Starbucks, we usually can go somewhere a little bit faster. Or let's bring it back to me. I have traveled too much this month for work recently. And so this last work trip that I took the 4 a.m. flight out on Friday morning so I could get back home to the family, right? I wanted to have the better part of a day. Well, everything went wrong on my flight. A bird hit the plane the night before, so they boarded us all on the plane. Then they told us the bird hit the plane, and they needed to do a safety check. I'm like, why didn't you do that the night before? Why did you wait till 4 a.m.? We were stuck on the runway for more than 2 hours. So that means for my connecting flight, I landed as they were locking the door of the gates, right? But I'm like, get out of my way. I grabbed my suitcase. I'm like, if my running and my weightlifting cannot help me get across a couple of terminals, this is not worth anything. I give up. So I picked up my suitcase and I ran through the Atlanta airport, down 2 terminals from C to B, lifted my suitcase up the escalator, down the escalator, nearly fell down the escalator. It was very scary. But guess what? I made it. I was yelling down the hallway, don't close the gate. And I made it. Running after something and knowing what you're running after makes it all more worth it. So we are generous in life when we actively flee from the greed, but then we know what we're running towards. The theologian N.T. Wright said this about this passage. Many people give lip service to the idea that money can't buy you happiness, but most of us give life service to the hope that it just might, after all. We are called as Christians and as followers of Jesus to model a different type of living, to show the world around us that we have something better, of more value, more eternal, and it's worth us running after. It's worth us using all of our energy, body, heart, mind, and soul to pursue because it's so beautiful. It's so much a value, and it's so true. And this is what Paul says in these next verses. We are called to run towards eternal values, an eternal purpose, and an eternal life. First, what are the eternal values we are supposed to pursue instead of greed? He says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That's almost like the fruit of the Spirit. Again, we are supposed to run in a direction that shows something important, that true generosity doesn't start in our bank accounts or in our wallets. True generosity starts in our hearts and the way that we live. When we are orientating our lives on the eternal things of eternal worth, then we're automatically oriented towards God and other people instead of living just for ourselves. That's what true righteousness and godliness is, living God and other-centered instead of being self-centered. We're also called to live like Jesus lived. When we live lives of love and faith, we are loving God radically and we are loving others radically with our whole beings. And what does it mean to live for the value of endurance and gentleness? I heard it put this way recently. The endurance means patience in difficult circumstances, and gentleness is patience with difficult people. True generosity starts with the way we respond in difficult circumstances and to difficult people. So we run after eternal values, but then we also are given an eternal purpose. This passage says, fight the good fight of faith. Jesus calls us to fight in his army. I don't know what that phrase does to your heart, especially right now in our world with all of the fighting. But we are not called to a fight that involves debating or one political party over another political party. It's not a fight that involves weapons or killing. It's a fight for love. It's a fight to show patience. It's a fight to answer with gentleness. It's a fight to live in a different way, in a different spirit. And when we are so busy spending our time and energy on things that won't last, more clothes, more, you fill it in the blank, vacations, more things in our pantry, just more, we lose focus on fighting for what really matters. Love, patience, justice, godliness, gentleness, endurance. We have been brought into a kingdom of God where we have experienced all of that through the beauty of Jesus Christ. And we are called to model that way of love and share this good news with others. And the best way we share this good news of an eternal purpose, of living for love and fighting for these things, is not just with sharing it in our words, but modeling it in the way that we share ourselves, the way we share our time, the way we share our resources, and how we respond to others. So we run after eternal values and eternal purpose. And finally, he says, pursue these values, fight the good fight of faith, and take hold of eternal life. Why do you think Paul told Timothy, one of the most famous pastors in the world, who pastored Mary, the mother of Jesus, and John in his church? Do you think this pastor needed to be told, take hold of eternal life? You don't think that he had already become a Christian or followed Jesus? No, Paul is saying to him and to us today, really enjoy the fact that you have eternal life. And don't just wait to enjoy it in heaven, right here and right now, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by making ourselves aware of God's presence, not just on Sundays, but when we're praying at home, when we're reading our Bible, when we're having moments, take hold of the eternal life that you have been given. Jesus frees us from shame, empowers us to forgive, heals our minds, reorders our thoughts. He does all these things for us here and now, not just at salvation, not just at our baptism, but every day through the power of his Spirit. And we're called to ask for more and take hold of it on a regular basis. If you're not enjoying your Christian life, it's time to start. It's time to start. So how do we live generous lives? We run away from the greed and comparison. We run towards things of eternal value. And finally, we live generously right now. See, when we really take hold of eternal life, When we have the power of the Holy Spirit transforming us here and now, it's a lot easier to live generously right now. How do we start? A lot of us just need to start by maybe sharing forgiveness. Maybe we start by sharing our time. Maybe we start by sharing our resources. See, sometimes we get so caught up in generosity just being about our wallet, we forget that so much of generous lifestyle is about our actions. So we can start by living now by saying, Holy Spirit, you have forgiven me. You have freed me. You have filled me. Help me to love and to live that way with other people. This is what this passage ends with. As for those in the present age who are rich, which, by the way, all of us are rich. We're rich in eternity through salvation. And even if our wallets are feeling the crunch and inflation, we are. All of us are. I get it. If one more thing breaks in our house, I think I'm just going to cry for a while. Okay? But even those of us that are feeling the crunch, do you know the majority of the world lives on less than $5 a day? We are wealthy. Just living where we live, and we are wealthy with an eternal inheritance. We are called to do good, be rich in good works, generous, and ready to share. Money comes and goes, but God never will. And our generosity in this present day and age is directly affected by our trust in the goodness of who God is for us today. So as we close, how do we respond to this passage here in our lives today? Here's a couple of thoughts that as we go into communion, there's always space for prayer after communion, at the communion rail, or afterwards this week as you're pondering this passage. Are there areas where comparison, greed, coveting have been allowed to lead you astray or suck the color out of your world? Give it to God. Confess. Repent. Ask him to heal your heart and reorder your affections. Have we been justifying attitudes and behaviors about money or people? And we just need the Lord to fill us with his love so we can open our hands with forgiveness or open our hands with our finances. Are our lifestyle choices others and Christ-centered, or are they mostly us-centered? And are we truly enjoying life? Because we have been given all things, and we can invite the Lord to fill us with his joy again. Let's end in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have generously given us all things. Lord, I thank you that your word shines a light on our lives. Help us to see where there might be evil or ways that we've been led astray, and help us to run away from it. Fill us afresh with your spirit and transform us so that we can run after the things that are of eternal value and share our lives with others the way you have loved us. In your name we pray. Amen.